Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Thank you all for joining us for another night, another episode with Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. This is Kwajalein, your host, and I have my wonderful husband here, which is the other host.
Good evening, everybody.
We just would like to thank all of our faithful listeners, all of our replay listeners. You know, thank you all for your continued support. We truly, truly do appreciate it. Well, tonight we're going to go ahead and we're going to jump into our topic. We are talking about deployment. Deployment is a time that many military families have experienced. During deployments, families are separated for long periods, and oftentimes the stress of it all can take a tremendous toll. When soldiers return home, many times families are not prepared for the changes that have taken place within the family as a unit. The family that they once knew is no longer, and the stress to cope and adjust can sometimes seem unbearable. How can families learn to adjust after deployments? What resources are available to help? How can the family and friends of military families help during the time of transition? Join us on tonight by calling in to 657-383-1571 and, you know, to share in on the conversation, to, you know, if you have personal experiences that you would like to share, then we would really love to hear from you on tonight. Now, this is something that my husband and I, we have personally dealt with because my husband has been deployed 3 times. And what we have to keep in mind is that even, you know, in this, with this topic we're talking about, it can expand out. It's not just, you know, within the home. We know we have the soldier, the spouse, the children. But we also have, you know, family members outside that are affected. We have mothers, we have fathers, we have sisters, we have brothers, we have, you know, in-laws that are also affected when, you know, the deployment time occurs. And this can also, you know, we can also even, people that are not in the military can relate to this if, you know, if they're separated. We have a lot of civilians, you know, that work overseas. So it is not just something that is only experienced by military families, but we do have civilians, again, that have gone and, you know, and they also, their families are also affected by the separation. So we're going to really just, you know, dig into this, talk about this, see what we can do to help families, because a lot of times, you know, families are dealing with things from, you know, these separations and changes that occur during deployments, and we deal with it in private a lot of times. Other people don't know. We don't want people to know. And so we deal with it in private. And so on tonight, we're going to go ahead and we're going to discuss it. I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines, and then I'm going to read a blog that I wrote, just giving a little of, you know, mine and my husband's experience with deployment, and, you know, we'll just go from there. But we're going to go ahead and open up the lines and let everyone say, you know, say hello. Okay, we're going to start off with Jade. Michelle Jade, are you there?
Yes, yes, I am. I'm here.
Hello, hello. Thank you for calling in tonight.
Hi. How are you doing, Pastor Penny and Quadrillion? How are y'all?
We are good. We're good. Thank you for calling in, and we're looking forward to your input on the topic tonight.
Oh, yes, I have a lot to say since I'm a military spouse dealing with coming up on deployment number 6. So, you know, I'm very interested to talk, you know, when it's time.
All right. Your line will be open, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Next, we're going to go to Pastor Michelle. Are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Pastor Kenny and Pastor Quadrillion?
We're doing good. Thank you for calling in on tonight. And we look forward to hearing from you as well.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, Mish, I'm sorry. I was walking in when you was talking. I'm sorry. How you doing? Pastor Michelle, how you doing?
I'm good, Pastor Kenny. How was your work day?
It was a little stressful, but I'm glad it's Friday.
I know that's right. Me too. Amen.
Okay, we're going to go ahead. Jonathan, are you there? Doe? My brother Doe, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Big Doe?
Hello.
How y'all doing?
What's up,
good.
How y'all doing this evening?
We're doing good. Doing good. Thank you for calling in on tonight. We look forward to your input as well.
All right. I'll see what I can do.
Your line will be open. Next, we have caller ending in 6184.
That's Yummy, and I'm here.
Yummy!
Hi, Yummy. How you doing?
Hi, guys. Good. How are you?
Doing good. Good.
Good to hear from you.
Hey, Yummy.
Hey, Miss Jade.
And we look forward to you putting in on the topic tonight, Yummy.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Mom, are you there? She probably has her phone on mute, y'all. I don't know.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Hello,
hi. Hey, your phone will be open. Your line will be open if you have anything to say, Mom.
Okay.
All right.
We'll see.
Okay. Keisha, Kayleen, are you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Hi.
Hello there.
Thank you for calling tonight. And your line will be open if you have anything to say, because we would like your input as well on tonight.
Okie dokie.
Okay. And we have caller ending in 4620. Caller, could you state your name?
Hello, hi. My name is Faye Alexander.
Hey,
hi, how you doing?
Hi. I'm calling out of Macon, Georgia. I don't even know where this land is going into, but I'm here in Macon, Georgia.
All right.
Well, thank you for calling. We appreciate you calling in just to see what's going on.
Yeah.
We discussed family different matters with the family, and tonight we will be talking about deployment. Tonight we'll be focusing on effects of deployment and separation. You know, that's dealt with the military families, but also, you know, other families that may deal with separation for different things. So if you have anything to say, we would love for you to join in on the conversation. I do know that you are a community activist in Macon, so we would love to hear if you have any input.
Be more than happy to.
Thank you.
All right. So good evening again, everybody. I'm of course Kenny, and I just want to just open up a little bit and kind of talk about the deployments or separation in general. Back during the, you know, the Vietnam era, you know, and all the way up until now where soldiers are deploying, you know, to Iraq and Afghanistan still. When soldiers came back in the Vietnam days, they had this thing that a lot of people would consider that, you know, somebody that came back from war, they considered them as being crazy or psycho because, you know, they had things that they were trying to deal with. But they called it, back in the day, they used to call it shell shock. And what was happening was you had soldiers that, you know, were young men and women that were going down, you know, over to Vietnam and coming back and seeing things, you know, that were just really gruesome to the eyesight. And they were coming back, and then their psyche was not connecting back with, you know, civilization and reality. So they were having a hard time coping and dealing with those type of stresses that they were dealing with, you know, being away from home. And the same thing happens also, you know, when we talk about people that go to jail or to prison. You know, they deal with things and they deal with things that they're not used to dealing with, you know, on the outside world or in the civilian world. And then what they have a term that they call somebody that's been in jail for a while, they call them being institutionalized. Well, in fact, yes, they have been institutionalized and put into the justice system. But when they come home, they have a hard time coping with it because they're always on alert. They're always trying to guard their back, making sure nobody's, you know, stabbing them or trying to kill them or trying to beat them up. So they have to deal with those type of things. Don't just look at it as just being deployment, like my wife said. It's dealing with separation, period. And it does hinder or hurt families in a lot of aspects in the family unit.
And part of that is, I think, because, you know, when we come back together, especially when we first experience it, we first are kind of caught off guard that there is a change. You know, you don't realize sometimes that when you see that person leave, that although you may see them come back physically, but that may be the last time that you see that person. And so I think that's part of it. But I'm going to go ahead just real quick. It won't take me long. For those that haven't heard my blog, I know most of you on here have at least read it, but I'm just going to read it, you know, to just kind of share mine and my husband's story, and then we'll go from there. The day we said goodbye. December 29, 2001, it was one of the very best days of my life. Our wedding theme was Cinderella, and our phrase was, "Today our dream becomes a reality." After a couple of failed relationships, I had finally been given a chance at real love. This was a love that I had always imagined and dreamed about, and now it was becoming a reality. Yes, that was such a wonderful day, the day I married my Prince Charming, my Boaz, my soldier, the man of my dreams. When my KJ and I met, he was very open about his love for the military. Our relationship blossomed rather fast, and although I had always been against becoming a military spouse, I found myself becoming more and more in love with the idea. KJ was so sweet, gentle, affectionate, and patient, and I could not resist but to renege on some things I had promised myself I would not do. There I was accepting this man and his career while making the conscious decision to dismiss some things of my own. At that moment, I had no idea the things that I was truly agreeing to give up for a true chance at love. Our first duty station was Fort Hood, Texas. I will never forget the day I left Georgia to begin my new life as a newlywed military spouse. KJ and I drove two separate cars, and I remember listening to Donnie McClurkin's "I Trust You, Lord" over half of the trip. At that moment, I was listening to the song with tears streaming down my face because I was leaving my loved ones behind. I had no idea how much I would truly have to learn to trust God in the midst of every situation and every aspect of this military life. March 2003 was a turning point for the United States as a whole. However, for those of us who were affiliated with the military at that time, the turn was a bit sharper and unsuspected. Operation Iraqi Freedom was the war that the United States was fighting, and for the cause, our soldiers proudly left behind their loved ones to go into an unknown place to fight this war in an effort to pursue justice for our citizens. When KJ received his orders to go, he was so excited. He loved being a soldier, and he was sure that he would be back in 4 months and return to me just as he left. My husband was a proud and confident American soldier, and I was the proud wife. The day he left was a hard day for me. I recall waking up that morning and preparing to take him to his company to leave out that evening. We went to eat pizza for lunch, and I remember the laughter all mixed with tears because we both knew that we would miss each other like never before. My husband and I had only been married for a little over a year, and we were being separated for a cause that seemed greater than either of us could comprehend. I recall giving my husband that dreadful last kiss and that last hug as I was preparing to leave him. My heart was breaking like it never had before. There was an indescribable pain, and in the midst of it all, I had no idea that that goodbye would be my last goodbye to my KJ. I had no idea that the husband that always made me laugh, that smiled whenever I entered the room, that was unable to sit in the same room with me without kissing and or hugging me would not return to me. I had no idea that the day we said goodbye would truly be the day we said goodbye. It would say goodbye. 12 months seemed like a lifetime being away from my husband. When he first returned, I noticed some subtle changes. However, I attributed most of them to him being tired or just having to adjust back to being back. It was very strange to me that in the beginning he seemed very reluctant to be in a crowd of people, especially since we would go out all of the time before he left. The sound of a balloon popping would cause a reaction that seemed to set off a fear I had never witnessed in my husband before. As time went on, I began to notice that certain events would trigger an agitation and irritability in my husband that was nothing like the KJ that had left me a year earlier. Although we would still laugh and play, it became more and more apparent over time that something had changed in my husband, and he was no longer the same man that I married. Okay, I'm going to stop right there, and we can, I can go back to that. But, you know, this is just a picture of what happened with us. When Kenny left in 2003, when he left, I truly did not, we were new to the military, you know, still very young, in our early 20s. I'm 2.5 years older than him, but, you know, just still very young in marriage and everything. And so when he left, I remember him being so excited because, again, you know, like I said in the blog, we couldn't comprehend what this was all about. We didn't know. And so, I just remember the things that, you know, caused me to fall in love with my husband. And so when he came back, it was just such a, it was just a very shocking thing because he had changed so much. He was very withdrawn. He didn't smile like he used to. He didn't laugh like he did before he left. And I, as a wife, I didn't understand what was going on. You know, I knew, you know, he obviously had been through some things, but I just didn't understand. And so, you know, it really just took me to a place of confusion. I was confused. And although I had my husband there, I missed my husband. You know, even though he was there physically and, you know, I'm not taking away anything from the soldiers that died, you know, that died, you know, and thank God that my husband did make it back. However, he was not the same. He wasn't the same man. He was a different person. And so, you know, this was something that we were dealing with, and we dealt with it in the house, and a lot of people didn't know that we were dealing with it. We didn't really talk about it because, again, we didn't truly, truly understand everything that was happening at that point. So, you know, it was truly, truly, truly an adjustment. I'm going to see if Kenny has anything. Okay.
Well, I kind of don't have a whole lot that I want to say just at the moment because I know we have other callers that probably have experienced the same thing. But what I do want to say is going to a third world country like Iraq and seeing things that are just beyond belief and beyond anyone's wildest imagination, where, you're riding down the road and you're worried about getting shot at or being blown up, or you're seeing things that you never thought you would see, like you probably would see on a video game or even a movie. These things are actually, you know, here in the forefront in reality. And And when you're out there, your psyche begins to play tricks on you. You know, you're starting to think, you know, you start having more and more dreams about being at home because that's where your mind is used to being at. And so you dream about being at home every night and you wake up and these dreams are like so real. But yet when you wake up, you're waking up to the sounds of bombs going off or you're waking up to gunfire and it's just, it really was scary, you know, for me being a young man that I was, you know, just experiencing life on my own and actually being deployed. You know, I had my wife with me and then I brought her all the way from Georgia only to separate from her, which I had no clue I was going to separate from her as long as I did. But just to give you all a brief overview, it really does shock anybody's inner core of thinking about, you know, what you have to go through and how much you're constantly on alert. And yes, I still do have, you know, some things that I deal with. When I go into a restaurant, you know, even still today, I can't have my back toward the exit. I have to be facing the exit when I'm sitting down or I just don't feel comfortable. And you know, these are just things that a lot of people don't realize that their children have to deal with. So, you know, there are a lot of parents that are ready to see their children go off because, you know, you look at the percentage in the population of the United States and you have that 1-2% that are actually joined the armed forces. And parents should be proud of their children. But there's so much underlying things that the parents just don't have to, they don't know about when their kids first raise their hand and say that they're willing to support the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And when you do that, you're really giving a big part, a big chunk of your life away, only to find out that when you do get it back, it could be a bag full of shattered puzzle pieces, and it gets tough. But I must say, even today, I still do enjoy, you know, serving and protecting my country.
Thank you, baby. That was wonderful. We're gonna go ahead and open up the line because we do have a couple of other callers. And then we'll continue on. Kyra, are you there?
Hello. Hi, everyone. Yes, I'm here.
Hi. Welcome. Thank you for calling. Your line will be open, so we look forward to any input that you have.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Hey, they didn't even click. Michelle Core, are you there?
Hello.
Hi. No, this
Hi,
is my other,
yes, I'm here.
What's up, Michelle?
This is my first friend, Michelle. So thank you for calling. This is Michelle's first time on the line as well. So thank you for calling. And Michelle was also a soldier, and she's now the you know, the wife of her husband was a soldier, but he's a civilian. So, Michelle, if you have anything to say, we would love for you to input on this conversation as well.
I sure will.
And your line will be open. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to finish out the blog, and then, you know, we'll continue on with the discussion. In 2005, KJ was sent to Louisiana to help support the victims of Hurricane Katrina. He was then sent to Korea in August 2006 for a year tour immediately after the arrival of our oldest son. My husband returned in August 2007, only to be sent off again in 2008 to Iraq for another 12-month tour. Each time he would return, my KJ seemed to disappear more and more. The man I said goodbye to in the gym, at the airport, or at his company was never the man I greeted upon his return. With each deployment or separation, he was changing. The laughter became less and less. The smiles began to disappear. The long talks we had became very scarce, and the hugs and kisses throughout the day almost became non-existent. My KJ was no longer cheerful. He became very withdrawn, angry, irritable, impatient, and lost. I had no idea what was truly going on. I just knew that I desired my husband back, the man that I said goodbye to that April day in 2003. That is who I yearned for, my first husband. Yes, my husband of only a year. Thanks to my mom, I grew up with a great faith in God. Yes, I was at a loss as to what was going on with my husband, but I knew that I needed to pray, and pray is what I did. I do not mean just a prayer. I mean, I prayed consistently for years to come. As a matter of fact, I still do. As the years went on, I became knowledgeable on some things and realized that although he was never officially diagnosed with anything, my husband was dealing with results of some traumatic events he had seen and encountered. I began to educate myself on things both spiritually and naturally. I had a very small support group because at the time most people thought that we were doing great. I chose not to make what was going on inside our home public knowledge at that time because our family was so vulnerable. In the beginning, my husband was very defensive about his changes. He could not see himself as I saw him or as how our son saw him. His vision was limited to what was really happening, I believe partially because he was afraid to realize that he had changed. However, as things began to progress, KJ began to accept that things had changed in him and things had started to change in me as well. I, too, became a different person. Due to the changes within my home, I often cried more than laughed. I began to question the decisions I made in 2001 when I decided to give up some of my hopes and dreams for my chance at love. I often wonder if I were responsible for those drastic changes in any way and if I failed as a wife by not preventing them. There were times I even questioned if I were the right fit for my husband, because surely if I were, then he would have been happy. It was a hard struggle, a very hard struggle, one filled with tears, pain, regrets, and apologies. However, it has also been a struggle filled with love, fighting for something and someone you hold dear, forgiveness, and a greater level of faith. I'm so thankful to God for keeping my husband's physical body during every separation. I do realize that there were many who paid the ultimate sacrifice and lost their lives for the protection of our right to freedom. I would not dare try to take away from the honor that is due to them and their families. I do, however, desire to show that even some that return home with every limb in some way suffered a loss as well. In our case, my husband seemed to lose his joy and his peace while I lost my husband of only 1 year. I often think about my first husband of only 1 year, and I miss his boyish smile, his silly antics, and his numerous soft kisses. But then I look at my husband now, and when I do, I see someone very different. I see a man, yes, a mature man, that has gone through some trials and come out a conqueror, a man who loves God more than he could ever express because he understands who has truly been his keeper. I see a man who has denied himself for the sake of his family, a man who decided that whatever the cost, he will fight to keep his wife and children because his family is worth the fight. I see a man who has suffered but has still prevailed. I see a man. I see a man that has been and still being shaped and molded into a stronger, wiser, more compassionate, and more loving man. And although it seems unbelievable, this man was born the day we said goodbye. And you guys, you know, even reading that makes me want to cry. I almost cried, you know, just reading that. And, you know, we need to talk about it, you know, but just reading that, it even just kind of made me, you know, want to cry. But anyway, you know, the lines are open. If anyone, you know, has anything to say, we do have the lines open. But I guess, baby, first I would like to ask you a question. For anyone that may be dealing, you know, with this, or have dealt with this, or, you know, there's a possibility that they could deal with it if they're military family or such, what advice would you give to the soldiers?
Well, I would say there are many resources out there, like the Military Family Life Counselor. Then you have Military One Source, and many other resources out there to use. I say, and I challenge you that, you know, regardless of separation and regardless of how long, you know, he or she may be gone, utilize those resources, because in the end, okay, it helps make a more resilient individual when you actually have someone that's encountered the same thing, and then you can learn from, you know, how did they get through it. And it's really important to do that. Now, I know back in the Vietnam era, like I said, you had soldiers that would come back that have never, ever, ever gone, or anybody in the armed forces for that matter, that has never, ever gone downrange and had things like that happen to them, you know, where they were being shot at, and they watched people that they knew and became good friends with getting killed. You know, they never knew that something like that would actually take place, you know, in real life. So they had to come back, you know, only to come back to no resources, only to come back to nobody telling them, hey, you know, we got your back. If you need anything, we're here for you. They just had to pick up their duffel bags, do a duffel bag drag, go back to where they came from, and then they had to learn how to conquer these things on their own. So that really, really, really was tough. So utilize those resources out there that are available for the family members that are experiencing separation for kids. They even have good resources for the children. Make sure you utilize it, ladies and gentlemen, because it's important.
And what would you say to the families of the soldiers that are coming back? How can we help make things easier for you guys to transition back?
Well, that's a good question. One thing that I noticed is that, you know, you have soldiers that, I mean, well, I keep saying soldiers. I'm going to say armed force members that go down range and they come back. And then they have a hard time being able to get back in to where they literally fit in, where, you know, you have the mom that was used to being the mom that was the caregiver, you know, the nurturer, that was the you know, the soldier, airman, Navy men, or the Coast Guard personnel that deploy. And they come back, and then, you know, dad has filled both roles, and now the kids are continuously, you know, depending on dad or vice versa. And so, you know, the person that's deployed comes back, and then they have a hard time dealing with being able to come back in and be able to do what they were doing before they left, because everybody's now at the point where they're pretty much sustained and they're used to separation. So, you know, for the family members that are home abroad, you know, or home or abroad, whether you're overseas or whether you're in the States and your soldier has left or your armed forces member has left and come back, Give an opportunity and start to slowly allow for them to, you know, come back into the picture. But if you see some things that are just not right, I think that the spouse, significant other, should definitely take a moment to be able to talk with that individual. And if you really feel the need for counseling, then seek it. If you really see a difference in them as far as, like, you know, some changes, whether they're very short patient with the kids or they're very short patient with you, give them. Get the counseling that they need, because it's important.
And I think that's something, you know, that we have to really know. If we need to talk to somebody, we have to do that.
Right.
We can't be afraid or ashamed to talk to somebody, because when we're dealing with this, again, you know, we don't know how, and this is all new. You know, it can really end up just being a tragedy for the family, and that's not what we want. What we want to do is to save the family, and we have to learn how to accept that things have changed. You know, we've been separated. You've changed. I've changed. The kids have changed. You know, everybody's changed, and so we have to accept that and then learn how to move forward and still maintain our family, although everything has changed. Okay, we have, like I said, we have the lines open. Does anybody have anything to say on this topic right now?
This is Kyra, y'all. I've definitely been through some things with my husband, you know, going over there. He was, you know, a vehicle was, you know, blown up twice. So he has PTSD, brain, traumatic brain injury, his shoulder was broken. I mean, just so much went on at that time. We were at Fort Hood. But one thing I want to encourage, you know, the military wives, that if you have gone through the PTSD, whether they were injured physically or not, or if they were injured physically and they're still active, to, again, like Kenny was saying, was to seek help, because when you seek help, it helps you in the long run, and it would be hard to start off. It would be hard to get him to talk to someone. He's going to be concerned about his career, how people are going to look at him or her, you know, whoever the service person is. But they're going to be thinking about all of that. And what I had to do with my husband was to encourage him, because there was a lot of times he wanted to give up, period. Like, he started going to counseling. They started giving him, you know, 1,001 pills to take. He wasn't trying to take the pills, but he wasn't sleeping. He, you know, snapping, all this stuff that he was going through. He did not want to get any help for him, but the spouse is the one who, you know, is the most influential person. You know, not the sergeant, not the first sergeant, it's the spouse at home, is the person who is the most influential person in their life. And I'm encouraging you just to, you know, just to encourage them to get help. And sometimes you have to be the mouthpiece. I have written letters. I have written letters to his doctors. I have written letters. I've got him into the Wounded Warrior Transition Unit. His letters are still in his medical file right now, handwritten letters. They are copies of things that I noticed, jumping in asleep, waking up in the middle of the night, looking out the window. Definitely, you know, afraid of loud noises. You know, everything I was noticing, waking up, screaming in his sleep, nightmares. I wouldn't say anything. I would make sure he would go back to sleep, but I would write it down in my journal. Because that was something I had to go back and tell the doctor, because he was not going to do it. He was not going to quickly do it, you know. So, make mental notes. Mental notes are great, but I would suggest writing it down on paper, putting a note in your phone, just little things that you're noticing, because now he's retired, and he is getting what he deserves now that he's out as a disabled vet. You know, a wounded warrior. He's out medically retired, but he's getting what he deserves. But I can honestly say it's because we had to fight for it. Don't be afraid to fight for it and encourage them to get help as soon as possible. So that's it.
Thank you. And that is definitely great information. You know, we need to take notes of, you know, take notes of those changes. And yes, don't doubt what you see. That's something else, you know, I would like to say to, the family members, you know, spouses, mamas, aunties, you know, because I'm going to ask, you know, my brother's on here, my sister's on here, you know, so I want you guys, if you have anything to say, I know, Doe, you probably do, because, you know, speak from your point as a brother-in-law, brother. But don't doubt what you see. And even if you do question it, ask somebody, hey, did you notice, do you think Kenny's changed? Do you think he's different? Did you notice this or whatever, so that you can be confident, you know, in what you're seeing. But don't doubt it, because sometimes we do doubt it. Sometimes we'll doubt it because we don't want to admit that it's there. But if we do not admit that it's there, then we cannot help it. And so that's what we have to remember. We can't do that. We have another caller on the line, caller ending in 2038. Are you there? Caller ending in 2038.
Me, Devion Stanford.
Hi, Devion.
Hey,
how you doing, man?
How you doing?
I'm sorry. I was trying to get my sign outside.
Oh, well, that's okay. Well, Devion, we're going to leave your line open. We would love to hear from you, you know, because you've dealt with this, you know, deployments and everything with your dad. So we would love to hear, you know, what you have to say, you know, from the part of being, you know, a military child, even though you're grown now. We know you're grown, but, you know, we would love to hear what you have to say. Is there anyone else on the line that has anything at this point?
Well, I'd like to say something. You know, just to go back to what you were saying about the family members who aren't in the household, you know, because it's very noticeable. I know for me, I noticed it when Kenny came back, you know, that he wasn't the same person he was when he left. And I understood because that, you know, I ain't never been in the military, but I know that it's a certain switch that they have to cut on over there. you know, it's a certain way that they have to be versus how they have to be over here. And, you know, so I seen the transition, you know, from when he left and when he came back. And like you were saying, like you really have to, you have to speak up, you know, when you notice it. You know, because we had conversations about it, and, you know, and it was like, man, you know, I mean, just how he was interacting with the kids, and how you know, like he just wasn't the same, you know, and you can't look over stuff like that, because you don't know what they went on over there, you know.
There's
certain things, like if you see it, especially, then, you know, and you don't have to come at them sideways, you know, you got to ease into it. So put them to the side and say, hey, man, you know, everything good with you? You know, I know, because there were certain times he came to me and you know, and me and him talked about some things, you know, especially with him dealing with the kids. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because of how he, you know, how he was when he came back, you know, like, you know, and, you know, like you were saying, though, you just can't let it just go. You have to. And, you know, and I got friends, like you're saying, and it ain't even just Kenny. I got friends that's been to the penitentiary, and they come back same. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you have to, you know, as a friend, you have to, you know, encourage them and let them know, hey, man, you know, you're free. You're here, you know, try to talk to them, get them back into the right mind frame.
That's right.
Right,
though.
That's all.
Well, I want to say, Kyra and Doe, definitely, thank you very much for talking up and giving everybody an opportunity to hear, you know, from two different standpoints. Where Kyra, you speaking from the spouse standpoint, and then, you know, Doe, you speaking from the brother standpoint. So, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, you know, family members are affected through all facets, through all demographics of the family. We're talking in-laws, we're talking, you know, aunts, uncles, grandchildren even. So it's very important. And you know, I actually had a, if I may, honey, kind of, okay, I want to kind of switch the tables a little bit and share a story that I had with a soldier that came in the military back when I was in Fort Carson, Colorado. Well, I had a female soldier. She came into the military, and she came in, and she was a very introverted person, which means that she was very quiet to herself. She didn't really talk and deal with too many people. And, you know, me being a sergeant, you know, there are certain things that we actually pick up on and we notice that a lot of people may not notice, because that's pretty much our job to pay attention to the abnormalities or the things that are just not, you know, normal. So I pulled her to the side one day, and, you know, she said, "Sorry, you know, I'm thinking about doing this, and I'm thinking about doing this to myself, and you know, I don't know what to do." So I you know, talked with her and everything, and we got her the help she needed. And lo and behold, she came in the military, but she had left from a battered relationship. And with her leaving from this battered relationship, her boyfriend, who she had been with for about 6 years or so at the time, he took their son, and he just took off and just left with their son, and she was not able to get in contact with her son, but she was trying to lead and make a better life for herself. And he felt like, well, if you're leaving me, and if I can't have you, can't nobody have you. So he was like, I'll just take our son and leave. Well, she was used to being in bad relationships and being beat on and being, you know, raped even from her previous relationship she was in. So in essence, what happened was she went to the doctor. They wound up putting her on medication, and then she became a little more open about when she needed to talk or when she was feeling a certain way, you know, because the medication was helping her to cope with her stress. Well, they diagnosed her with PTSD, and I can remember like it was yesterday. We had this guy like, well, she ain't never been deployed. How in the heck is she going to have PTSD, this, that, and the third? So I pulled him to the side, and I said, let me tell you something, man. When somebody has PTSD, you have to think about the words, you know, for that acronym. It's post-traumatic stress disorder, right?
Right.
Or syndrome, right? Because they have PTSD, PTSS. All right, so it's post-traumatic stress disorder. Oh, Sandra.
Yeah.
Okay, so she came in, like I said, she had came in from a bad relationship. She had been beat. She had been raped, you know, plenty of times. And now she's trying to deal with it. So I didn't really go into the story of what happened with her to this particular NCO. But I did put them to the side and I said, look, you know, we as people experience, you know, things from all walks of life. You know, some come off the streets from being homeless, and some have been, you know, beaten, scorned, and bruised, or you know, they've been molested or raped, things of that nature. So we all experience, you know, a traumatic stress in our lives, which really, in essence, does strip us of our original makeup and our original personality at times, because everybody deals with stress differently. So the blog that my wife wrote, I remember when she first wrote it, and it just took me back. So we have to be really, 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 really alert when it comes to making sure that if we know somebody that's dealing with a traumatic thing in their life, whether it be a loss of a job or a change in the family, you know, because somebody died or a loss of a child, we have to be real vigilant and making sure that we try to talk to that person to get them the help that they deserve. So I kind of switched it up a little bit, but it's just a matter of showing you, ladies and gentlemen, that we as human beings, we deal with stress in all walks of life. But tonight's show definitely was based around deployments and separation. So if anybody has anything to share, like my wife said, you're definitely welcome to share.
And I'm glad you brought that up about that young lady, because I think that's part of it too. You know, you have you guys come into the armed forces, and some of you already have some post-traumatic stress, you know, issues, and then you go to to deployments, and you're in this environment, and it adds on to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just it makes things, you know, worse. That's just what it does. And so how, you know, we have to accept it. We have to address it. And you know, for the family members out there, you know, like, do find a support system. If you're a spouse, talk to other spouses that are going through it, that have been through it. You know, talk to somebody that can help kind of say, you know, give you some ideas, because when you do deal with this and you see that, you know, your wife has come back from deployment or your husband has come back from deployment and the child, you know, your children are just like, hey, Dad, and then they're snapping. Get out my face, you know, and it's just like, you at first, you're just like, you know, don't be talking to them, you know, like that. And so, you know, because that you know, that can just set you off, you know, but we sometimes have to remember that, you know, they, again, don't realize that this is happening and that there is a, you know, we need support. We definitely do, because we, you know, as the ones left behind, we don't really understand everything that, you know, the ones that have been sent away, you know, what they've gone through. We just understand, you know, we are ready for y'all to get home. Oh, baby, I missed you. You know, I never forget when Kenny came home, you know, that first time. I had bought a cake. We had people go, you know, go to the gym. We were all excited and come back to the house. And come to find out, he didn't want any of that. He didn't want to be around anybody, you know, but I didn't know. I thought, you know, he's coming home. This is a big deal. But I didn't understand that, you know, he was coming back, and then he didn't really want to go anywhere. He didn't want to be around people, you know. And so that was something that I didn't understand, because I was the one still left behind, you know. Okay, so we're going to go ahead. Mish, I know you said you had something to say earlier. Do any of you have anything to say, Mish, either one of the Michelles? Do you have anything that you want to say?
I'll go after Missionary Jay.
Okay.
I just want to say everybody's input was very, very helpful, because I just dealt with my husband and him dealing with some PTSD issues. And I didn't catch the signs. After the last deployment when we were in Germany, My husband slept on the couch for 30 days. He had 30 days off. He slept on the couch for 30 days. I didn't catch it. So everything that you guys said was very, very helpful. You know, and he self-recommended himself for counseling, but it took a lot of prayer, a lot of, you know, well, had just basic, you know, having faith that God would change him along with the help that he was getting from the counseling and praying that the counseling was working and that it wasn't setting him back. So, you know, that's just my little experience with PTSD. And also, even this time, he's getting ready to deploy again to Afghanistan for the sixth time, you know, and there's been so much progress. You know, and I'm just a little worried, you know, I know God got it. But you always just worry, like, how are they going to come back? You know what I mean? We've made so much progress. You know what I mean? Like, so much progress to the point, like, you know, my husband is even going to church, trying to do church activities and things like that. And you don't want to see all that go to waste. So, you know, I just, you know, just keep, well, ask you guys, keep them in prayer. You know, I keep praying and, you know, and things like that. So, you know, that's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Thank you. And, Mish, you brought up a great point when you spoke on the fear. You know, and I think that, you know, we do constantly have that fear. I know I've talked to Pastor Michelle about that before. You know, I think about if he leaves, if Kenny leaves again, then I'm scared that all of the progress we have made, that he's made, you know, that our family has made, that it's just, that it's going to be gone. And, you know, and sometimes, I feel like I don't know if I could do it again. I don't know if I could just go through all of that again and start from square one. You know, sometimes I feel like that because it's so much, and it's not like, oh, they come back and in 30 days it's fixed. You know, this is something that we deal with, we're working on for years, you know, years post, you know, deployment. And so, you know, you brought up a very, very good point about the fear. So, for anybody out there that may be feeling that, know that you're not alone. You are not, you know, strange. That's common, you know, for us to feel that way. Thank you, Mish. Pastor Michelle, go ahead.
Yes. I would like, everybody made tremendous points. And what I'm listening to, what I'm hearing is that all of us that's been through deployment actually suffer the same things. Being on the spouse side, Kyra, I 100% know what you're saying. And thank you for your advice, because now I'm going to document the jumping at night, the nightmares. Yeah. Every nightmare he has, somebody's trying to kill him. And they don't see the sign. I know my husband, he's sitting right here, baby, I love you, but he doesn't see the signs of PTSD. He's not the husband that left in 2003. And every time he leaves, and I think this will be number 7 for us coming up, it's a little bit chipped away. And I find myself arguing, telling him, because he is the first sergeant, and I'll tell him, I'm not your soldier. You know, don't say that to me. Don't say that. And it's like he, after a while, because, and then things that we do as spouses, especially multiple deployments, we give way for the things that seem now little because something else is compound bigger than the little. Meaning, let me give an example. So this deployment happens, and so last deployment, he's not giving you the hugs and the kisses like he used to. And so it comes around. And so maybe the hugs and kisses are not there as much, but you're not going to focus on that because now the intimacy is not there and the separation from the kids. So we never fixed it from deployment 1, 2, 3, 4.
Right.
And so here we're coming on deployment number 7, and what end up happening is if you're not grounded and you're not rooted, and it doesn't even matter how saved you are, we're still human. If you're not grounded and you're not rooted, you're heading for a divorce. And so I feel, you know, I have two of my children on the phone. My son was, I want to say about 12 when my husband first deployed. He's 25 now. And I remember my son and my daughter, their grades. I was working at the time. I had to end up making a decision to quit my job. But I walked in one day, and my daughter was crouched down in the corner screaming because she missed her dad. And
yeah.
Only thing back then, the only thing that we seen on TV, we didn't have communication, was people were dying. And so I had to make them stop watching TV. Their grades went down. And I don't care how much control you feel you have over your house, when you go through a deployment, it seems like it spirals out of control.
That's yeah. right.
That's right.
And so, you know, right. you could have the most structure, the most discipline, and then you yep. come back and it's like, as the wife, now you're trying to shield your children from the anger of dad. Because
right.
we're not looking at soldier, we're looking at dad.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we don't know. It wasn't until my husband just opened up and started sharing some things. And I guarantee you, he hasn't shared everything. But it's been many, many nights, Pastor, I tell you, and I've shared this with Pastor before, that I pray silently in his sleep, that mm-hmm. I would anoint him, because I didn't know what to do. I didn't.
Yeah.
I've seen the signs. But I begged him, babe, you need to go talk to somebody. You need to, I don't want counsel. What do I need to talk to somebody for? You know how that's going to look on my record? Like you said, Prophetess Kyra. You know how that's
right.
going to look on my record? You know, look, this is our family. So you
yep.
would destroy our family because you don't want it to look this way on your record. I've been through that. And so all I can say is that when they decide that they don't want to get help, Missionary Jay, I totally understand. Was sleeping on the couch. I was sleeping on the couch because
mm-hmm.
I couldn't even deal with how he would stop breathing at night. I went years with no sleep because he would stop
yeah.
breathing in his sleep. He wouldn't go get evaluated
yeah.
to see why you stopped breathing, you know,
yeah.
because I needed to be awake
yep.
to wake him up when he stops breathing. So
yep.
we end up as the spouses with a form of PTSD.
Yes,
I ended up
right.
with all of anxiety medicine, Celexa, Xanax, all kinds, Seroquel. I ended up on all kinds of, having all kind of panic attacks. And we end up going through a milder form or a form of PTSD ourselves dealing with the soldier. And the truth of the matter is, it's not even their fault.
That's
yeah.
right.
But it's
That's
not
right.
ours either.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
And so we definitely have to find a balance. So this show, I do think that there's, it, within this show right here, Pastor Kenny and Pastor Kwajalein, I really do think a lot of your topics that you have, it should be support groups formed out of the topics. And if I must say so, this should be a support group formed from this topic, because so many of us suffer in silence. And because we're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, we feel like it's so hard to go outside of the walls of the
right.
of us being saved
Church.
And dependent on God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
So that's what I needed to say. I do thank you and appreciate you. So you have anything to say? Okay.
Well, thank you.
Have
thank you, Pastor
Thank you. That's, you know, everything that you guys are saying is awesome. It's awesome. And, you know, we need to hear this. We need to talk about this. Because, like you said, Pastor Michelle, we do suffer in silence. So, we are in it more because we finally, you know, start talking about, with a small support group. You know, my mom, she knew, you know, but it was like, you know, like I said, other people didn't. And you know, for the family members out there, because I know, you know, for family members or friends that are, you know, listening, streaming, or if you come back and replay, you know, I know I've heard a lot of times or read, not necessarily to me, but, you know, read, and people will say, even other military spouses will say this to each other. Well, you signed up for this. Well, you know what they signed up for. You married them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People have to understand, mm-hmm. we do not know every, just like when you have a child.
Don't know everything.
You never know everything that comes along.
You don't know.
And so I think that's part of the reason why a lot of us may be quiet, is because you get that, well, you married them. You knew they were soldiers.
Yeah.
You knew they were in the military.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I
yep.
did. I stopped for my soldier. I think, you know, I do. However,
yeah.
However, no, I did not know that my husband was going to leave and he was going to come back and, you know, and he was going to be extra with our 18-month-old, you know, that he would he couldn't even have crumbs around his mouth. You know, I didn't know that when my husband would get home from work, he would come in, say hi, and for the rest of the day he would say nothing to nobody. You know, these are things that we don't, you know, we don't realize we're going to go through, you know, and so we really do need that support from everyone. Go ahead.
Amen.
All right. Wow.
Amen. Amen.
I'm just talking with what everybody's saying on tonight. It's just amazing. I mean, because, you know, the voices are being heard on tonight, and they're carrying out to the masses. So, you know, because we're going to have listeners that are going to come back, and they're going to replay this, or they're going to refer somebody, hopefully, to the show, and they're going to hear, you know, wow, there's somebody else out there that actually has gone through or been through the same thing, you know, that I'm going through right now. So I'm gonna listen to the show. But what I want to say is big hats off and respect to military spouses, male and female, because you all have no clue what you're getting into, and you're just being that spouse that's being supportive of your spouse that's being deployed, and what happens is, you know, the soldiers, the sailors, the airmen, Marines, you know, Coast Guard, they have no clue what they're getting into. Okay, and yes, we do, like I said, raise our right hand, and we're swearing to the Constitution of the United States. But we're still also stepping into the fear of the unknown as well. And when you're crossing over into that path of the unknown, I tell you that there's no scarier thing than knowing that when you get there, and we're dealing with temperatures, you know, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm not lying to you when I tell you this. We're dealing with temperatures that range anywhere from 118 degree up to 128 degree temperatures on a regular basis. There were times, you know, when most of us deployed in 2003, where we had to drink water that was so hot that the minute you drank it and it hit your stomach, you had the urge to defecate, or you had the urge to pee, and we had to drink this to survive. You know, or we're eating food that's rationed food, and you know that's clogging us up and messing our bowels up, and we have to deal with the discomfort, or you're sleeping in sweat, you go to sleep sweating, you wake up sweating, you're dealing with flies, you're dealing with all around you. I mean, it gets tough. It gets tough. So you know, if you have friends or family members that are thinking of joining, I'm not trying to scare you out of it, because everybody doesn't experience. I know people. I've come across numerous people that spent, you know, 20 plus years in the military and have never deployed and never had the experiences. But it's good to know. It's good to know what you're getting into before you get into it. Amen.
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 And to know that there is a possibility, you know, even if, you know, they never experience it, which I hope they don't, but, you know, that there's a possibility, you know, that you could experience that. And, you know, so I just want to also say thank you to you all, baby. Thank you to you and, you know, everybody out there, to Cedric and, you know, everybody else, you know, Keto. I'm trying not to forget anybody. If I forget anybody, y'all, please forgive me. Charge it to my head, not to my heart. You know, for your service, because I honestly just couldn't imagine doing it. I'm not the one that could be in the military.
Man.
Just not be put out.
Wow.
You know, I do. I just thank you all, you know, for your service. And all that you do, because we know that it is a sacrifice, you know, to be away. And for, you know, the spouses that are out there, again, find a support system. Know that you're not alone. There are others that know what it's like to be scared that somebody's going to come to your door. There are others that know what it's like when you're trying to keep your system on you, you know, because as soon as you put it down, you're going to miss that call, you know. And so it's just so much that goes along with this. It's so much that goes along. There are others, you know, that do know like you said, Pastor Michelle, you know, about our, you know, our children crying. You know, one year we had to get our friend of ours gave Jeremiah a bear with Kenny's voice. Well, it was a lion, and she had Kenny to record his voice. You know, a lot of people don't understand what that feels like. You know, when you hear your babies, you know, asking, well, when is mommy coming home? When is daddy coming home? You know, when is daddy coming home? Daddy's still at work? You know, people just don't, you know, understand that. And so, you know, just know that you're not alone. You're not alone. Does anyone have anything else to say before we go ahead and end for tonight? Does anybody have anything else?
Can you hear me?
I can.
I would like to say something.
Go ahead.
You know, I commend all you spouses. You know, I'm also a soldier. I went into the military in 1981. And back then, we wasn't having the type of military, as I call it, that we're having today.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that my biggest goodbye was when I had to leave my one-year-old daughter and my eight-year-old son to go to basic. And my first duty station was in Fort Benning, Georgia, which I was so happy about that because my kids was, you know, my mom was watching my kids for me. And on the weekend, I would drive up to Macon and pick them up and bring them back with me for the weekend and, you know, just return them that Sunday night. But the biggest scare that came for me in the military, and during that time, I was so serious on being a soldier. It was just planted in my head. And I never forget one day I got promoted, and I also had a seizure. I never had a seizure in my life, but I had a seizure. And they did not know why I had that seizure, but, you know, I try to look at the best in everything, so I just told them it was probably because I got promoted that day. But my next duty station from Fort Benning was Korea. And when they told me Korea, I was sick. And I heard someone say, well, that's what you signed up for. You know you got to do this. You know you got to do that. I knew exactly what I signed up for, but you know what? I was not ready to go to Korea because I had heard so many things about Korea. When I got to Korea, they sent me straight to the 2nd D. And anyone that's been in the military know what 2nd D is like going north.
Oh, yeah.
And they would drop propagandas like it was nothing, and I would say to myself, they could drop a bullet just like it's nothing. And I remember my uncle telling me during the Korean War there was landmines still planted out there somewhere. And, you know, one day it was one on my company area, and they had to evacuate up. And all I could say was, God, thank you. Just thank you. And I did what I had to do as a soldier, and I was a great soldier. But when you have to say goodbye to your children, your family, and one of the biggest support is knowing that you got family support. But I was missing my babies. And if any of you all know anything about me, you know my babies are no longer alive. They all are deceased now. But I heard someone also say, you never know when you're going to get that knock on the door. But what I want to say to you is this, if I can encourage anyone tonight. You're human. You're human. Whether you feel with the Holy Ghost, you say, you always keep that with you, but know that you're human. I heard someone say tonight that if I had to do this all over again, I don't know if I could do it. You know, that's just like someone saying if I lost a child, if I lost my child, I don't know if I could make it. You never know what God has in store for you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And when you married that spouse, you didn't know all that stuff was going to come along with that. And I'm hearing you women, you know, going through what y'all going through, and it's nobody's fault. It's not your fault. It's not your husband's fault. But when I sit back and I look, I got to say, God, thank you, because I don't know how I would have been if I could just see bodies being killed in front of me, living in that kind of environment. It got to be rough. It can't be no. I mean, you got to be a strong person to do that for 12 months.
That's right.
But all I can say is stay prayerful and keep God first. But also know that I'm human.
Mm-hmm.
God already know what you're going to do before you even do it.
Amen.
And I admire you women, because you are keeping that family together. And I think, as the pastor said, this should be a support group, because you don't know how many soldiers need what y'all just put out there. How many wives need what y'all just put out there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I would keep each and every one in my prayer.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Miss Alexander. That was very encouraging. Thank you, and you know, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for all that you do. I see you online, and I thank you, you know, for all that you do in making, and just continue to be that voice, because you are making a difference. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
You know, this has been a very, very sensitive topic, but you know, one we needed to discuss, and you know, so everyone just, you know, stay encouraged, and I do thank God that I have seen His hand move, you know, in my husband and me, you know, in my home, and He's the only one that can get the credit, because I tell you, it, you know, was a rough go there for a while. It really was, and I think both of us, you know, were at a point where we just wanted to just let it go, you know, we just, because it just seemed like it was just too much, you know, for us to handle. But I thank God for His grace, you know, and I thank Him for staying power, and I thank Him for the hope that we still had, you know, for our marriage, even when we didn't realize we had hope. You know, we were both saying, we're leaving, we're through, but we never left, you know. And I thank God for that, even though, you know, I planned it and everything, but never left. And I thank God, because there was still, we still had hope, and that hope has definitely, you know, paid off. And so I thank God for that, and I thank, you know, God for all of you. Did anyone have anything else to say before I allow my husband to do the closing remarks? Anybody? Nobody?
No.
Okay.
I got something to say. My
All right, Mama.
I had talked to the soldiers and the spouses, whether you female or male. Back in the Vietnam days, they were drafted. They didn't have a choice that they could go into service. I lost friends that went to the war. And there was a guy I dated when I was in high school. And we had broke up. And I didn't see him until when I was in my late 20s. I had gotten a divorce. And it was just my oldest daughter and myself, and we ran into each other, the young man and I ran into each other, and we start back dating again, you know, getting excited, hey, you gonna get married, you know. But as Kenny was saying about shell shot, he had shell shock. I couldn't deal with it because I would, he would have to always, you know, watch, like he'd watch his back. We could be sitting somewhere and he hear a loud noise. He would jump, and I saw him drop out of sleep. He would jump. And I find that I couldn't deal with, because he was not the same person that I knew in my high school days. So I made a decision, because I had a daughter I had to see out. She was only 2 years old, and I did not want her to go through that. But I had the choice, and I stepped away from that relationship. He had become an alcoholic to deal with what he had experienced over there in Vietnam. And I think about him as far as how he has gotten, and I saw him one day, and I could see that he still was an alcoholic. And my heart go out to you all, women, men, soldiers, whether you're a male or female. So I keep you all in prayer, because you all got something stressful on your back, and that you know the Lord, and the Lord always there to carry you through. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart, leaning not to thy own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. And I know it says thy path, but I say your path. So I just thank God for this opportunity to tell you that my hat's off to you.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Wow. Again, I'm just glad we had such a good turnout on tonight. I mean, the conversation was great, and that blog really, to this day, my wife's blog, it still really touches my heart. You know, because of the changes that she saw in me, I saw also in her. But, you know, by the grace of God, we all have made it through, and we're here. We're still here. We're still here to live to tell about it. And that's a blessing inside of a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
So I definitely want to encourage everyone on the line tonight that if it's anything you're going through, don't be afraid to go out and talk to somebody and get help about what you're going through. Because, like I said, everybody handles stress differently. And, you know, unfortunately, there are some that can't deal with the stresses of life and the things that they've gone through, and they eventually become succumb to you know, their surroundings, and they eventually, you know, take their own lives in the end at times because of stress. So no matter what you're going through, seek the help that you so need and you so desire. And don't be afraid to talk about it, because strength and resilience is shown in you going out to get help. And I want to thank everybody again for calling in and listening. Callers that are going to be calling, I mean, not callers, I'm sorry, listeners that are going to be listening into the show, I encourage you that, like I said earlier, if you have anybody that you know that's going through anything like this, then make sure, you know, you help them get the help that they so deserve. So I want to thank you all for joining in on tonight with another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Quaslin. And I just ask that everyone have a blessed weekend and have a good night.
Good night.
Thank
you.
Good night. Good night, y'all. Jared want to tell y'all bye. Come on, Jared. Everybody go on now. Say bye.
Bye.
Good night.